You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Honestly, I lost track of time because I went to Wendy's.
I knew it.
Wow. What's your Wendy's order, Billy?
Oh, man. Well, it depends how hungry I am, right?
Mm. Little JBC?
No. I get a $4 for $4 meal.
JBC.
Great value.
JBC? Junior Bacon
Cheeseburger? Those are the best jokes that it takes you a little bit. You're like,
I think
what?
You can get a JBC as part of the $4 for $4 meal. You used to be able to. But I can get a double stack. And then here's the trick. You say plain with cheese, and they don't charge you for the cheese because it's in the $4 for $4 meal, whatever, right? So you add the cheese. That's free cheese there. And then
freeze.
Yeah, exactly. On top of that, you get a 4-piece chicken nugget also. So it's just like, oh, so much food for $4.
Billy, my head hurts. So you asked for a plain burger with cheese.
Double stack plain with
cheese. Double stack plain burger with cheese.
That's
How did the Wendy's people not go, you're asking for a cheeseburger?
The double stack doesn't come with cheese, so I'm adding the cheese, but they're not charging me for it.
If Kel took your order, you would just have 2 pieces of bread.
We should talk to Kel, see what he's up to. Ooh, besides besides that show with Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Is he a regular on that show?
I'm gonna write down 90s nostalgia as a mystery crate idea.
Yeah.
Let's just talk to people from Nickelodeon in 1994.
Or Beth Denberg is on Cameo if you want to talk to her.
What's her name again?
Lori Beth Denberg.
Lori Beth Denberg.
She was in All That.
Of course, yeah. By the way, I watched like 4 minutes of an old All That episode once, and it was like, how did I find this funny? Painfully unfunny.
We were kids.
Right, and it was meant for us, but still.
I kind of wonder about that. Like, people who are writers for like kids shows, it's like,
yeah,
you're not
purposely
really
write dumb shit.
Yeah, like, you're not really that funny, right?
Well, it's probably like a junior level job until you get onto like a proper sitcom, right? Or you've just completely flushed out and this is all you can get.
Kel resents Kenan, right? We agree.
For sure, yeah. Because only one of them could have been successful and it was Kenan. And look at, I mean, Kenan, he's been on SNL for like a decade.
I think he's the longest standing cast member, right?
Yeah, and he's never had a bigger moment. He's got his own sitcom now. Mm-hmm. I saw he was doing press for something else. He was on Simmons' podcast doing press for something. Like, he is on top of the world.
I guess this goes back to like being a kid and how you think things are funny as a kid. I always thought Kel was the funny one.
I agree. I thought Kel was way funnier.
You think Mystery Men did him in?
Oh.
Wow. Solid reference.
I don't know what that is.
Welcome to the Mystery Crate, by the way.
Never seen Mystery Men.
No.
It's a who's who of how did they get in this movie.
We have Hank Azaria on our team, and you know.
Okay, so I need to watch every movie
exactly.
In his IMDb? Like,
come on, get out.
I mean, we mentioned it before. I'm just saying.
Do you think Hank is checking out what Chris Whittingham is doing? Like, you know, it's a two-way street.
He is in the regional demographic where LA Galaxy was playing. He could have streamed LAGalaxy.com, my preseason match I did the other day.
He probably did.
Listen to this cast, by the way, Whitty, and tell me what you think of this. Mystery Men. So Hank Azaria is
the lead.
I guess he's top billing, which is surprising.
Ben Stiller would probably be.
I know, but I'm going. Well, I mean, spoiler alert.
On IMDb, he's sixth lead. Do you want me to close this page so you can talk?
No, you can. I mean, you're there. You can read it. You read better than me, anyways. That's where I was. I was going to read it.
Janine Garofalo, William H. Macy, Kel Mitchell, fourth lead on IMDb. Paul Rubens, Ben Stiller, Greg Kinnear, 8th lead. Eddie Izzard, 10th lead. Artie Lang, 11th lead. What were you going to say to me, Chris?
When are you going to start working in show references to your,
You know what?
I was thinking all your other jobs with this job.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day because I think someone tweeted me, when are we going to start doing this? But
how annoying will that be for you once the ask is eventually made? Like, hey, can you make a joke of your other job for us?
I will sneak it into other bits, the goal calls and I'm not going to become Randy Moeller. I'm not doing that.
Oh, come on.
I like it. I like a good foot being put down.
I don't know. I will inevitably be peer pressured into doing this. But
what's the strangest thing you've been peer pressured into doing?
When I started coaching high school baseball, all the other coaches on the staff were big dippers, and I had never dipped.
Wow!
And one practice early on in my coaching career, I put a little tiny piece of dip in my lower lip, and I was just I was feeling cool. I was doing the thing where I was spitting. And I felt like I was doing it. And then about 10 minutes later, I was doing these
you're dizzy.
Conditioning drills. I got so lightheaded, I needed to go in the dugout and sit down. It was the worst. And I was like, I'm never dipping again.
Now, here's something that I want to ask you. Your coaching career, as you described it, is that of a high school coach. So should high school coaches be peer pressuring other high school coaches into that?
Realized that. I probably shouldn't have said that because high school coaches are not supposed to be doing that. All high school teams, you go to a high school game, all the coaches are dipping, but it's something they're supposed to hide. So I wasn't technically supposed to.
Let's not pretend that a high school baseball coach is some secret society we have to protect.
Sounds like it is.
I'm just saying. I realize I stepped over an unwritten.
What are you going to get banned from the high school coaching association now?
But you said they were peer pressuring me. It wasn't like it was like, hey, Chris, try it. They were just all doing it. And I was like, let me give this a whirl. I've never done this, and it was terrible.
I think that you're the most susceptible to peer pressure in this group, probably.
I don't think that's true. I haven't been peer pressured on a lot of things.
I mean, you've had your foot in a bag of I don't even remember what it was on the air.
Well, we're doing a show, Billy. Sometimes I do things for the show just because I think it'll be entertaining.
But we got to go back to Chris.
So you say.
There's nothing like a good foot being put down.
That's true.
Even in a bucket. In a bag of mayonnaise or whatever you had it in.
Billy, for years I resisted taking my shirt off. Because there'd be bits where you guys are all whipping your shirts off and I was just not doing it. I'm putting my foot down. But I did in Zoom a couple weeks ago take my shirt off so you guys could only see my shoulders. It was a big moment for me.
Right.
Talked about that in therapy.
I was going to say this is revealing. So Chris, how did you feel once you took your shirt off? I am terrified of playing in a shirts v skins game where I'm.
Oh, that was my nightmare.
I'm on the skin side. Luckily, I don't know how I've managed this. I've probably played in 10 soccer shirts v skins game, and I've always managed to be on the shirts team. And thank God. But I don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. I've gotten to the point where I'll put my foot down and go, no, you're going to remember who your teammates are. Don't ask me to take my shirt off. That's another put your foot down moment. Yeah. Just remember who you're playing with. It's not that hard.
I've bought those little fake little shirts just so I can at a flag football game not have to take my shirt off. I'm lying about that, but I.
Wait, so what was the point of what you just said if that was a lie?
About that.
That's a fair point.
Right.
Okay. See, sometimes you just say things. I do.
Yes.
Well,
but usually you don't immediately admit to lying, though.
Right. Let us peer pressure you into saying that you were lying.
Back in my high school days, even now, I would go to Dick's Sporting Goods and buy a bunch of little jerseys rather than participate in a shirtless game, is what I was kind of getting.
I know, I get what you're talking about now. The ones that you just kind of toss over your t-shirt or whatever.
The mesh.
Soccer, they're called pennies. The little yellow tank top looking thing that you put
this
over your shirt.
This freaking guy over here. This guy.
I mean, they have a name, Roy. He knows it. I mean, it's
pennies, what's wrong with knowing things?
What's wrong with knowing things?
Woody, how do you feel about the character that's kind of developed where you kind of, everyone's always just like, oh, come on, Chris, enough.
I can only be myself and you can only find me annoying, right? If you genuinely find me annoying, then what, yesterday we were on a meeting and I said the word copacetic and Cortez texted me, what the hell was that? And I'm like, I don't know, that's the word that I used. Yeah.
I know words.
Sorry, I have an extensive vocabulary.
Do you ever find yourself dumbing it down? just because you're like, let me change this word right here.
No, I don't. Because like, it's the best word that I sometimes, like, for me, the best word is in Spanish. Like, I will occasionally be talking. It's like, the best way for me to describe this is a Spanish word. So like, I'm always just going for whatever the best thing is that I know off the top of my head. I had like this moment when I was studying for the SAT where like this switch went off, and now like I'm just always absorbing words all the time. So I go for whatever's best. And look, if you guys find it annoying, like, that's fine. Like, in some ways, like, it's the truest expression of myself. So why would I dumb it down or change it anyway?
Put your foot down. Don't change.
The only time I've ever done that is in dating. I have done that before where I've gotten enough like, huh? Right. Or question marks. It's like, all right, I need to change my language a little bit. That has happened where like, if you're trying to get along with a woman, like confusing her all the time is not the way to do that.
Well, I think we all know what time it is. Take us on a date with Chris Whittingham.
Every syllable that passes through my lips has been thought over 100 times. Like, I am the worst possible version of myself. I go into a shell. It's bad. Where, I need to be drunk, basically.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Where do we meet people? Where are we? Are we on apps? Are we doing, like, not blind dates? Are blind dates still a thing?
I don't think so. I've dabbled in the apps. Not really.
You just get set up with
really
people
work for me. I mean, I would need to look better with my shirt off probably to do better with on dating apps. Just, you know, meet people in the way that people meet people.
I don't know how people meet people. I don't know. I mean, I'm married now.
Bars and you know, friends of friends, and as your father would say, that kind of thing. I mean, usually like my plan is to, like, you know, somewhere in the area of where that person lives, like go on Yelp, find whatever the best restaurant is, like maybe try and expose someone to a new place and go from there.
Do you have a line
research?
No, I've got nothing. Wow. Like,
no pickup lines.
Absent game.
Have you written a Yelp review?
No.
As someone who might have.
I was thinking the other day though about like, okay, obviously we all use Yelp, we all use Google reviews, but if we never leave them, then we're trusting people that are probably the most finicky about customer service and the most finicky about eating with our every food choice. So like, I should participate in Yelp and Google reviews so that it's a more efficient and better system.
This is something that I've seen that I'm not a huge fan of. The person that brags about their status as a Yelp reviewer, I guess there's like different levels of Yelp.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it's like, I'm a 5-star Yelp reviewer. It's like, okay, like, I get it. You got nothing but time on your hands to write about everything you do. Like,
jeez.
That doesn't mean I necessarily trust you.
Say about Chris's wife there, man.
No, she's totally right. I say the same thing to her all the time.
No,
I everything we do. I'm like, I don't even have an opinion on that.
So wait a minute. What happens? Like, you go somewhere and then you get home and she's like, hold on, I got to write a review on Yelp.
And honestly, it's when she's moved, good or bad. Like, if it's just a flatline experience, I don't think she Yelps everything. But if she enjoys something, she's like, I'm going to leave this. Like, she'll tell the waiter sometimes. And the waiter's like, I don't care. I'm just a waiter.
Wow. Is there a benefit to doing this? Or this is just like out of the kindness of your heart / you want to spite people if you had a bad
time? I just
think
she uses it like kind of what Woody was saying. Like, she uses it. So she's just like, I'm going to help people out and tell the next person.
Yeah. Like, we all, like, every restaurant should have like 10,000 reviews. If you think of the number of people that go to restaurants, there should be thousands and thousands of reviews because we all lean on each other, but it's like a community of 300 people that are tastemakers in South Florida. Like,
a lot of this is manipulated too. I have a friend, my wife's friend owns a certain business, and there's very often text exchange. Hey, can you leave a good review here? I had a bad one, so I want to bury
influencing.
It.
Influencing.
I was talking to a business owner as well who was saying to me that they... was saying to me that they said, and like, they sent their Google link to provide a review, and apparently Google recognized this in some way and downgraded this business for trying to solicit Google reviews. And so, like, their star rating and their appearance in Google searches is lower because they attempted to solicit them. So I do think that Google, at the very least, is trying to maintain some kind of objective measurement and not, like, get people soliciting Google reviews. So you go to, like, the reviews for a barber shop, and there's, like, 28 people that have left a review. It's like, all right, I'm trusting my view of this place in the hands of 28 people. Like, in some ways, I want to be more like your wife, Chris.
It's better than nothing, though. It's better than zero people.
That's fair. I will never walk in a place that has one Google review or one Yelp review. I wouldn't do it.
I don't check reviews before everything I do.
I was just going to ask that. So you check before you do a lot of things.
Yeah. So like I moved to Hallandale Beach like 4 years ago, and like, you know, dry cleaner near me. And like that's how
dry
I found
cleaners are just dry cleaners.
That seems like a thing that just
dry no cleaner. That man has suits. Yes,
like they're bad dry cleaners, I guess. Like right, you would think. But
I just,
you know,
go to the one closest to my house.
Barbers and meat markets and stuff like
you. Yeah, home repair.
Yeah, exactly. Like you don't want to just pick anyone. Like do you just close your eyes and pick whatever, like, you know, your landscaping? No, like you did some research on who's going to do your landscaping.
Whenever I'm traveling, yes, on landscaping I did do my research. Yeah. But whenever I'm traveling and I want to like have a nice dinner out, maybe I'll Yelp something there. But like on like a Friday night, if I'm looking to go to dinner, I'm not just going to start Yelping all the restaurants around.
But you don't get, but like you don't pick the same 11 places every time. Like after a while, I start just going to the same places.
Yeah,
So I need to like branch out, and that's when I get on the Yelp.
It's funny because like I don't go on Yelp for restaurants or barbershops or any of that stuff, but for Amazon I will look sometimes at the reviews, especially if it's something like semi-important, right? If it's something that it's just like then I'll just let it go. I'm like, whatever, we'll figure it out, and if not, I'll return it.
So for restaurants, do you just like go by the look of the place or by like recommendations? Like let's say you moved into a different area of South Florida than the one you moved to,
wherever,
Rickle.
Yeah,
would you just start go wandering around and trying places, or would you like look some up?
I'm not very adventurous when it comes to food, so like it's not like everything's a blank slate and it's like I can eat anywhere. It's like, no, I mean, I have like five things that I like, and I'll probably just look to see what places serve like the five things that I like, and then if I don't like it, I just won't go back there again.
You know what I do that the most with is pizza. I'm trying to find good pizza since I've been living in this house for over a year. Pizza's the one food item that I'm kind of picky with. Like Chinese food, I'll try it. If I like it, I'll order it. Like I won't look up reviews for Chinese food, but pizza, like I'm still trying to find a good pizza place.
Really?
I haven't been able to.
With pizza, I can eat almost any pizza. Like you have to really mess up a pizza for it to be bad for
me. I agree. Like I'm not going to dislike
Chris does
it.
Not. He
but
is.
I'm saying on a Friday, like if I'm having Friday night at home with the wife, like I want a good dinner. Like I cherish my Friday and Saturday night meals more than the weekday meals. A weekday meal, I'm like, let's just heat something up. We can order whatever. I don't really care. Friday night, I'm like, let's get something good tonight. And I just don't want... Yeah, I don't want Papa John's. Like, I want to find a good local pizza spot.
I don't want to take any shots at any companies, but for me, there is like a baseline, and that baseline is a popular kids entertainment center that has a rat as a mascot. And for me, like...
That's good pizza?
The baseline is like, I think a lot of pizza doesn't eclipse that standard. Like bad pizza doesn't eclipse that standard.
Ratty
and
McCool's.
For me, like I've, you know, you go to a bunch of chains, and for me, it all tastes like the kids' entertainment place with a rat for a mascot. And then the minute you go above
Stanley.
There, the minute you go above this, all cat. Right, this is a good pizza place. So like, bad pizza is bad pizza. For me, the best of the, you know, your run-of-the-mill pizza is Pizza Hut. That's my personal preference. I don't know what your guys' feeling is.
Pizza Hut's your best pizza of all
No,
chains?
Not best pizza generally. Like, of the chain
Of the
places.
Chains? Pizza Hut.
Papa John's best.
Well, you just...
I'm saying I hold that of... That's a chain. Like, I don't...
Yeah, But you're saying you don't want to have a Friday night with Papa John's. You want to have a Friday night with a slice. Right.
Papa John's
with
is...
Italian.
Local Italian bloke doing the pizza, yes.
Right.
I want some Italian bloke. Style, thin bloke. Crust. Yeah. Like, some bloke. Good...
Roy,
some good za.
Roy, what's your favorite chain pizza?
Papa John's. Every Super Bowl, we order Papa John's around here. Like, a lot of pizza and... Watch the game. So
do you really hope that a local South Florida team wins the night before so you can get 50% off? How much do you guys use the 50% off?
Oh, you have to.
Local teams winning.
Time. No. You got to.
Yeah. If you pay full price for Papa John's, you're just an idiot. Like that's just a matter of fact. There's so many promo codes. There's so many things for Papa John's. If you ever pay full price, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's like, what do you think the markup is on Papa John's pizza? Because it must be 51% because they give away 50% like it's nothing.
Yeah,
right. But to give away a lot of it, and that's why.
Billy, what's your go-to chain pizza? Yeah.
Chain, I think in terms of chains, it might be Papa John's also, but I don't. I think it's just out of convenience and habit, right? Because I do it so much. Like when I do a chain, it's Papa John's. But there are little pizza places around me that I go to, that I will go to more often than Papa John's.
Yeah,
but every pizza is different too, right? So like saying like you really have to mess with pizza. Some are thinner, some are thicker. Then it depends on the crust. So like
the sauce. Really, yeah.
Pizza is almost like not even a food for me. It's more like a genre of food, right? And it's like, well, what kind of pizza do I want today?
A lot of different styles.
Chicago. I'm going to get a lot for this. Horrible. I'm
100% with you.
I disagree. 100%
with you. It is like, it's not pizza. It's pie. And I know that they call it a pizza pie, but it's literally like eating a slice of pie that's drenched in tomato sauce.
I'll give you
the sloppiest eating experience, terrible crust. I completely out of Chicago style pizza.
I'll give you the semantics that it's not pizza. If we don't want to call it pizza, let's not call it pizza. But it's delicious. Like, what are you guys talking about that it doesn't taste good? I mean,
it's
just such a mess.
Yeah, it's too much. I mean, it's not even like a pan. You're eating it out of a pot, basically.
Yeah, you have to eat it with a fork and knife. Like, you're not going to hold up
it's
a piece
spaghetti
of Chicago.
For me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's spaghetti.
Yeah. Sans noodles.
Hey, guys. It's Mike Fuentes. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. My last year has been crazy. Started off editing videos for Dan, a podcast here and there, and now I basically do everything there is for Mystery Crate. And it's not about doing something different. It's about doing something that makes me happy. Something that makes me smile. Something that's not as simple as you think. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. Less filling and only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
All right, so our idea for this Mystery Crate, I can't believe I'm trying to put structure on this, is to reprise the fake-ass wheel. I don't think the show has done the fake-ass wheel. I keep saying we. I don't know if I'm we yet.
You are, man. You're
okay.
We.
Oh, thank you. But like, when we're talking about stuff in the past, it's not we. So you guys have not done the fake-ass wheel for some time, and so we've each come armed with at least one topic. I don't know if any guys have more than that.
But no, it's just one.
We've all come to armed with something, and so we're going to spin the wheel.
Can I ask you a question before we get to the fake ass wheel? So, like, you've been in there a lot, and we have a real wheel now, right? And I'm wondering if it's one is still there, and two, you'll catch on to this if you give it a close look. Somehow we lost the thing of it at the top, like the tip that stops the things from spinning. So it's essentially an endless wheel now where you just spin it and nothing is stopping and nothing makes it click. And you won't have the answer to this, but I wonder, one, how we managed to lose that because we never really touched that. Like, how did that just disappear? Yeah. And two, how are we going to replace that? I think it came with a replacement, which is also missing. So that wheel is kind of useless.
So I'm going to have to go on Amazon looking for a wheel spinner, essentially.
Well, I wouldn't do it right away. I mean, maybe you can look it up. You can Yelp some stuff, figure out what kind of reviews the wheel spinning stoppers would get.
Right.
I don't know how committed they are to that wheel. Also, the dry erase marker that came with it seemed more permanent than dry erase. So, like, if you look closely, you can't take anything off of it. And we've just been writing over stuff in different colors.
Okay.
So
should I get a dry erase marker as well? Should I look into, are you an Expo guy or did you go for other brands of dry erase marker?
You know what? I think Expo, when I'm feeling crazy. Yeah, Expo's like the Nike of dry erase
best
markers,
reviews,
right?
For sure.
Should we expense this to skip or this is
definitely expense this. Yeah.
Wheel repairs are definitely landing at the door of Skip.
Skip,
sure.
You said to reach out to you if there was anything important. It's been a couple months since we've spoken. We need to upgrade our dry erase board wheel. And we need markers and stoppers. What if I wanted pens? A nice set of pens.
Ooh. It goes back to Chris fidgeting with scissors. I was given a nice pen because I fidget with pens. And, like, you know, I was on, like, camera with, like, ugly Bic pens. And because I'd broken the tops off them. So I got a really nice pen. And I lost it in a month. There's two things that you don't need nice in life. One, pens. Two, sunglasses. Because you're going to lose sunglasses.
Oh, or
so, like, I've invested significant amounts in sunglasses. I went on, like, a sunglass warehouse.com and got, like, three pair for $31 because that's, like, all I need.
It's the play.
Wow. Yes. You know who also does that with pens that he was on the Mystery Crate a couple weeks ago? Kevin Clark says the reason that he holds a pen when he does Slow News Day is because his hands are very fidgety, too.
Yeah.
So if he moves his hands and he's holding a pen, it makes him look less insane. I don't remember if that was the exact phrasing on it, but essentially.
I've replaced the fidgeting where I do, like, the politician thing where it's, like, my ball's in a fist and my thumb is doing this. I don't know when I started doing that, but I did.
What about
that's something that Clinton did, yeah.
It's so annoying. If you watch people, I don't know who it is that's teaching. I imagine that it's like similar to like when they have beauty pageants. Do they still have beauty pageants? I don't even know. But like there's like, you know, like the classes that you go to and there's the coaches. There's like political coaches, I'm assuming, that show like these are the hand gestures that you do when you talk. This is the cadence. And it's like no one in real life ever speaks at these cadences or like emphasizes these portions of words. But like everyone will do it. And there's like the four or five different like hand gestures. And like this is when you emphasize. And it's almost like robotic. It doesn't even matter what's being said. It's like I'm just kind of timing it out of my head. And now it's become like muscle memory that I'm just going to go like this and point and then do the thumb and like all this stuff that no human actually does when communicating.
I remember Bill Clinton doing that. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. That's exactly what he did.
I would imagine that thumb thing probably tests well because like I watched an episode of The West Wing where they do a focus group on like on tone, right? So the president's going to say something at the State of the Union and they sample six different tones that he says it in. And so like he will choose the tone that is most popular with this focus group. So like everything has been tested. So I imagine the thumb must have some measure of effect.
You know why I didn't like The West Wing?
Why is that, Billy?
Because I had to watch it for school and we'd have to do like reports on The West Wing for school. And I was like, now this is just work for me.
I was a sophomore in college the first time I enjoyed doing something for school. Like where I watched the movie about Woodward and Bernstein, All the President's Men. We saw that. We actually, at the University of Miami, they have a movie theater there. So we saw it in the movie theater. It was like a 2-hour and 40-minute movie. I got to skip my next class. It was incredible. Like the most fun that I had in school. But like for the most part, when you do it like through the specter of having it to do it for class, it makes it...
ruins everything. It does.
The most fun you had in college was watching a movie?
In class.
Could watch anywhere.
Yeah, the most fun he's ever had was watching Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Is that like a standard journalism school thing? Because I had to watch that at school also. I was getting a minor in journalism and had to watch it.
Woodward and Bernstein are like idols to journalism. Yes, everyone's got to watch All the President's Men.
I mean, when you take down a president, I mean, obviously you're going to be an idol to journalists.
It was much better from a school perspective than one time I had to watch a Bollywood movie for a class that I was taking. That was
I like Bollywood. I like the vibes.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it was like singing and
makes me happy.
But like it was for a nationalism class. So like I had to like take like some political meaning from this movie in another language. It was like I had to rent it from the library. It was a whole thing. I hated it.
Remember renting things from libraries?
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. I took a film class in college. I saw a Bollywood movie. It was about an Indian wedding.
I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm the first time, renting each season from the library. I was a senior in high school, and I rented each season because we didn't have HBO. So that was like my exposure to Curb.
What is the cause of the library smell? Because all libraries have a smell, right? Is it books? Is it carpet? What is it? Is it the people that visit libraries? What makes libraries smell the way that they do?
I'm willing to guess it's the books.
I also live in a building with a lot of old people, and old people have a smell. What is that smell? I don't understand.
I'm willing to guess it's the old people.
No, but what is it? Like, do you emit something when you get older? Like, old is a smell.
Yeah. I remember my grandma's retirement home had a smell, and I always thought it was lack of bathing.
But I my community is not that old, right? Where it's like, you know, people wouldn't bathe themselves. It doesn't smell like BO. It just smells like old. I don't know what old is.
Older communities, very underrated.
Mm.
Usually nice, usually good amenities. Also, not a lot of craziness going on there. So you can enjoy a good pool. You can enjoy a good gym. There's not a lot of impressing going on.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of people just kind of doing fun things. I like the vibe. It sounds like the same kind of vibe that you're dealing with.
Most people look for neighborhoods with like young families. Billy's like, nah. Give me all the old people.
Give me the calm. Give me the calm. Okay. I just want to go home and have some calm. I don't need any of the excitement, the electricity, the flashing. I don't even know what would be flashing, but I don't need it.
I'm looking into buying a place, and there's a building that I'm really interested in that basically they play house music on the first floor. That's not your speed, Billy.
No.
House music?
Like dance music. Yeah.
And if you're buying, it's like, when is this going to end? You know?
Yeah.
Because it's not just when is that going to end, but also when is this phase of my life going to end where I'm like, this is fun? Because you're like, you're young. Right. Yeah. And you
want that bachelor pad.
That's the thing is that
Chris.
I'm assuming that you're single. I don't 100% know you're out dating. So like you are probably looking for a little more excitement now. Right. So you're like, you know what? This area, I think I know the area. This is a good area to be in. There's a lot of young professionals here. The area that I believe that you're looking in, without saying it, because I don't want to put it out there. I believe at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a DJ just having like a concert for the world.
Yeah.
In the buildings there, like by the pool. And it's like, wow, this is cool.
There's this hilarious viral video of this DJ. It was in the middle of the George Floyd thing. And he goes, shout out to George Floyd and his family as he plays a Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech remix of some house song that he was playing. It is the most cringe clip on social media I have ever seen.
You've got to be fucking kidding
me. No, I'm dead serious. I'm going to find this and send it to you.
But that area, right? Like, that seems fun where you're like, oh my God, it's a Saturday or it's a Friday. This DJ that's like world renowned is here. But the point is, it's fun then, right?
Yes.
But like, if you're like 35, 40 years old and you like settle down, you're like, when is this concert going to end? Like, can we just turn it down a smidge?
Then you're the old guy. But and even if you're still participating at that point, then you're the old guy who's still trying to seem young. So,
and then
those
people are like looking at you like, what's that smell coming off of your body?
All right, so the fake-ass wheel, we each have topics that we brought here.
We brought this up 30 minutes ago.
We have to spin it at least once, right?
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, here we go. I'm going to spin the wheel. I think it landed on Chris. Chris Cody, go ahead.
How did I know that was going to happen? All right, so I do have one topic here. All right, so guys, getting your ass kicked, we all agree, a bad thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
I have two examples where it's a good thing. At a restaurant, man, this burger is so good. This burger kicked my ass.
Wait.
That is a positive thing that happens. If a burger kicks my ass, if I say that to you, like Woody, just no context. Yeah. This burger kicked my ass.
Wait.
That's great.
That means it was a delicious burger.
Delicious burger. Yeah. Savory, all the elements of a good burger.
This is before digesting the burger.
If a burger kicked my ass, I would think that it ended with me being sick in like a bathroom somewhere.
Well, I guess it does depend on the food item. If we're talking about really spicy food and I say it kicked my ass, maybe that could be perceived as bad.
This curry kicked my ass,
Can I ask you a question? This is not actually kicking your ass, though. Like, you could just say anything positive and follow with, it kicked my ass, and then it would be like a positive spin, like, oh wow.
No, but for the most part, it wouldn't make sense. Like, but
winning the lottery kicked my ass. Like, oh,
no, but that doesn't make any sense. But like, it's not a context in which you would use "kick my ass." Whereas, like, a burger. But like, you know, a burger, like, you're really full. You feel immobile, and you know, it's kicks your ass. It's a great burger.
I honestly thought of this topic at a restaurant with my dad, where my dad is like, "How was it?" And the waiter is like, "Hey, how was this?" He's like, "It kicked my ass." And then that was just where in my mind, so, I'm like, "Wow, that's the rare scenario where getting your ass kicked."
What's your second?
I have another one. Being at the gym, if I say,
"I was just gonna
my
say that.
Trainer." Kicked my ass today.
That's a good one.
Yes, that workout kicked my ass.
Ah, look at that. See? Words. Yeah. Words are weird, man.
Yeah, but you're tired, you're sweaty, you actually probably hurt.
So. No, but you receive the residual benefit of a workout having kicked your ass.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
See? And I couldn't think of any other ones, and I've been thinking for days. You guys have only had like 20 seconds, so I'm imagining you guys can't really come up with other ones.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I got nothing for you.
Yeah, in our work, like, I'll say that edit
but I didn't try
my
though.
Ass. Ooh, like, we're like we've got to, you know, work really hard on getting a good podcast up. But
that's not positive.
But I didn't enjoy that. Like
if it kicked your ass.
But maybe at the end of it, I produce something good, but I don't feel the satisfaction of that. Like, maybe the audience will, but like, you know, I don't feel like, oh, like kick my ass, but I feel better for it.
Yeah. You wouldn't go, that interview kicked my ass. That would be.
You don't want an interview to kick your ass. It's
not, you can say like a night out kicked your ass. Like, oh, you know, that.
But I'm
like
hungover. But I'm probably hungover.
Yeah, but the stories afterwards.
You probably had fun.
Yeah.
That liquor kicked my ass, yeah.
All right.
Back to the wheel.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
You're done with that topic.
Right. Right.
Please don't.
Right.
Roy Bellamy.
Ah.
That's not what it said. That's
manifested.
Chris right now. Okay. All right. So as you guys know, we are on our 46th president. So I've took up some research. I've written it down on a piece of paper. And I have found the best 46s in sports.
Ooh,
the best athlete to have worn the number 46.
I can't think of one.
You can't think of one? I have three in the National Football League. By the way, sorry, Chris, I couldn't find any soccer players.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Okay, so in the National Football League, you have Herman Edwards.
Ooh.
Thad Christensen.
That's a good football coach right there, Hannah.
Yeah. And Chuck Muncy.
That was my limited fake Herm Edwards.
Chuck Muncy.
You got it.
Yes, Chuck Muncy. Major League Baseball.
Wait, hold on. So, Chris, your Herm Edwards is talking to Hannah Storm.
It's more of a visual.
That's really the only impression.
When he used to do SportsCenter hits with her, he would always lean on, he'd have one elbow on the table with his finger pointing. That's a football player, Hannah.
So his press conference as a Jets coach is not good enough for you.
No.
We play to win the game.
But anyone can do that. What? Yeah. It's like doing a playoffs in person. Yeah. Everyone does it. Everyone does
playoffs.
Yeah,
Chris
has gone into character and actually studied the Herm.
Look at this.
That's a good topic, Roy. It's a good topic.
Thank you. In Major League Baseball, we have Gaylord Perry.
Ooh.
Ferguson Jenkins. Juan Marichal. Andy Pettit. Don Mattingly.
Andy Pettit. That's a good one.
And Lee Smith.
Yes. Don Mattingly was number 46?
Yes.
Andy Pettit's a good one. I should have remembered that.
Yeah, Andy Pettit, I feel like I should have known.
By the way, my source on this is Baseball Reference. So that's
what team is he number 46 on?
I would think it would be
Yankees.
Yeah, he was
23.
Well, on Baseball Reference, they do like the
uniforms.
Yeah,
uniform numbers. So, yeah, that's my source.
You know what? For 2 years, he was from 82 to 84, he was number 46, and then he switched to 23 from 84
to
95.
List. Doesn't qualify.
No, I disagree. No, I disagree. If he makes, it's on his Baseball Reference page, he's a 46.
That's like Miguel Cabrera started as number 20, and then like a year later became 24.
I still think for me, he's forever number 20.
There you go.
This is one of those situations where they started their career as a particular number, and once they've gotten up to
right, he didn't even want that number.
It's exactly what it is.
Want the number?
Yeah, exactly what it is. In the National Basketball Association, you have Jason Collins, Mo Outlaw. And Aaron Baines. In the National Hockey League, David Booth, Ted Donato, Erica Branson,
Roy, can we hold on for a second?
Girardi. Yes.
You're wearing glasses.
Yeah.
And you're still holding the paper very
so
is
close.
It because you have like chicken scratch handwriting or
look at that. Yeah, my handwriting is bad. And the pen was cutting out on me.
Oh,
yeah.
Martin Saint-Louis is number 46.
Yeah, Martin Saint-Louis and Dan Girardi. Mm. Yeah, so that's a pretty good list for number 46, I think.
It's not bad. I would have thought
it was
a list.
It was a list.
Yeah, it was a list.
A little long.
It was a list.
It's not even 20 names on you, a little long.
Oh. Andy Pettit was the one that got me.
Yeah, that's the one that I saw on the list too. Oh, Andy Pettit, yeah.
So we can, by consensus, say that Andy Pettit is the best 46.
No.
Well, Don Mattingly, maybe.
Yeah. Well, Juan Marichal is number 46.
Juan Marichal, yeah.
Gaylord Perry was quite good.
Gaylord Perry, yeah.
Yeah.
46.
Allegedly.
Baseball is probably the best.
Allegedly? What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Allegedly.
Are you saying that these guys get lit up in today's game?
I mean, I didn't say it.
Right.
Back to the wheel.
It sounded like it did, but anyway.
Gaylord Perry had like 46 numbers, 22, 28, 35, 36, 35, 36, 36.
Well, that's because he was on so many teams.
Yeah. Well,
I need to spin the wheel again.
Did that wheel count?
Oh, it landed on
me. No, I counted. Oh, well.
It landed on me again. Man.
It was good.
Billy Gill!
No, I thought it said spin again.
Oh,
okay.
Oh. I have three topics.
Wow.
That we could go to. Should I spin a mini wheel, maybe?
Okay, yeah, let's spin a mini wheel. Within the wheel is another wheel.
Okay. Hello and welcome welcome.
That sounds like a Southbeat session.
That's Adam McKay, Southbeat Sessions.
Whoops.
Hello.
It happens to me all the time where things just start playing like on iTunes, and it's like, how do I stop this?
That's how I'm doing this. I'm playing this off of iTunes.
Yeah, and that's why I have a PC. Thank you very much.
So what in the mini wheel, I imagine this like the wheel at the end of Wheel of Fortune where they pick the dollar amount that you're playing the final prize for. So it's that mini wheel. So within that wheel, what did it come up on?
That's a good question. I'll give you the three choices and you can tell me because I can't
see
it.
No, it's a wheel.
Billy, that's not how this works.
We could talk about Shaq's engagement ring. We could talk about cooler rebranding, or we can talk about billionaires.
Roy, what is it? Billionaires. Let's talk about billionaires.
I feel like that spin was for nothing, that little spin within his.
Yeah, it really was. But I mean, we got Dan on here, so. Wow, look, now in the description, we could say Dan joined us. Yeah, we'll get a little bit of a bump.
Yeah, that's true.
Dump.
Oh! You're too good.
Billy, you can't beat Chris to the word combo.
Yes,
you gotta let Chris
come
on,
man. Billy, honestly,
but he let Boner go before. And,
Billy, honestly, most of the ones I do on the show are direct messages from Billy telling
Don't
me to
tell
do
people
them.
That.
Messages.
Desages was good. All right, so billionaires, go on.
Kim Kardashian's a billionaire now.
What?
Really?
Good for her.
Yeah.
Hell.
Also, the second Kardashian billionaire, because Kylie was the first Kardashian billionaire, was she not?
How is Kylie a billionaire? Is it the makeup stuff?
Yeah, it's all their companies.
Kylie became a billionaire a couple years ago, and now Kim seems to have joined her in the billionaire club.
Did you see her
honestly,
quote?
There was huge controversy in the Kardashian clan when Kylie got to it first, right? Kim has been jealous about that ever since, correct?
I would have to think that she did not receive that news well.
No. I think her quote was something along the lines of, not bad for somebody with no talent, which is just, I mean, because that's what everyone says. And it's
wait,
like,
what?
Bullshit,
how could one of us become a billionaire? Because I think it's pretty impossible at this point.
I think it would have to be like Meadowlark Media goes off to the sun. We have some stock options. Turn that into something.
Yeah, but it has to be. I was gonna say it has to be worth like $40 trillion for any of us to become billionaires. I would think.
No. Off of Meadowlark Media, but we then take the sale of Meadowlark Media and then go and do our own thing.
Invested in Bitcoin.
Or also, Billy, if you became an influencer, I think you could really rack in some money.
What about a Billy makeup line?
Ooh,
makeup. That seems to be the thing that all these billionaires that pop up, they have. They have a bunch of these companies.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you have to. It seems like you have to be an influencer, and then you have to have a company that takes off afterwards, right? But one, I don't think that I could be constantly going around telling everyone what I was doing all day, every day. So I'd be like a really bad influencer. And I also couldn't see myself, like, even if I wanted to plan it out, right? Where it's like, okay, let me spend this weekend and let me just go off and do like 4 photo shoots and like I'll take 5 different outfits and then I'll just do my influencing for the entire month in one day, right? I think it really comes down to I'm not that interesting, number one, right? Or I don't find myself to be that interesting.
Which is half the battle, right? You have to find yourself so interesting that you are in love with your selfie camera.
You have to definitely think that you're the most interesting person in the world. And like, I'm doing this right now. The world needs to know about it. Or the world needs to know what I think about this. And I just don't have that. I kind of think like, I don't even really care about what I think. So why would anyone else care about what I think? Which honestly, not a good strategy and not a good industry to be in when I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just a guy. Like,
Billy,
whatever.
You have a mafia. You have people who back you to the hills.
Imagine.
You need to develop that sense of confidence.
It's not even like confidence. It's like, I need to develop like a sense of, how do I fall in love with myself? Should I date myself? Going back to dating, should I go on dates with myself to make me fall in love with myself and then mobilize the mafia for my own selfish gain?
Yeah, you should treat yourself every so often, and then sooner or later you will fall in love.
I'm bad at treating myself too.
What would you ask yourself on a date?
It's a good question. So one, where would I meet myself, right? Because if it is myself, but there'd have to be two of me in this
scenario. What is yourself's ideal date?
The ballpark somewhere.
I'm picturing you at a dinner table with like a big mirror.
Full-length mirror. Yeah.
Talking to myself.
A 20 by 20 inch mirror.
Do you guys talk to yourselves from time to time? I talk to myself.
Verbally, or just like you're kind of having a conversation with yourself in your
head? Oh, no. In my head, it's never-ending, the conversations that I have. Yeah.
But so you're saying like you're in the car and you're just talking out loud? I've done that before.
Sometimes I do that. More so when I'm going like on a line. Like when I was driving in every day and driving home, it happens sometimes on the drive in and home from work.
Yeah.
I have thoughts, but I don't generally say them out loud.
I'm glad you have thoughts, Chris.
It is good to know.
It's good that you're thinking, yeah.
That's what you guys are saying. You basically are just saying, like, I have thoughts, but I say them out loud.
It's like you're playing like an internal tennis, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like you're bouncing an idea off yourself, and then you return it, and then you're just going back and forth with yourself.
I don't know if you've done this, but you have a... Let's say you're stressing over something, right? You almost play out the scenario where you're playing both roles. You're one person and the other person that you're having an issue with, and you have these conversations. And in some cases, you even are having fights with yourself as another person.
Are you like making impressions of that other person? Like, oh,
no,
I think this.
No.
And then you're like, no, I think this, Billy. And then
my internal thought one of them dressed up and doing a fake voice?
Like, I'm thinking, like, if you're talking to whoever you're talking to, do you do your impression of that person when you're responding?
Is this in my head or when I'm talking to myself in person?
That's a question for you.
I've never played dress up to argue with myself. Now, if that's what you're asking,
right.
I have another idea to become a billionaire. So there's two choices, right? The influencer, start your own thing, makeup, or you're just such a believer of something that you're in on the ground floor of something, right? So let's say like this NBA Top Shot thing. That guy came up with the idea for digital memorabilia on blockchain, and everyone thought he was an idiot, right? But there's got to be something that you believe in that you invest in a significant way from like the very ground floor, right?
The
there are people that were offered like Uber companies before they became a thing, right? Identifying some need in the marketplace that is not being filled. And you invest in it and then turn it into a $1 billion investment. Do you believe in anything like that as yet?
But that's the thing. You kind of need to be in the right circles, right? Like you need to be around people that are coming up with these ideas and like, you know what? I'm going to back you on this and put in whatever it is, some small investment that then could blow up into like a giant investment. Those things aren't happening in the restaurants that I'm Yelping. Like I don't run into those people at Papa John's, you know? So like it's going to be difficult for me to do it that way. Right. And then I almost feel like the way to become a billionaire would have to kind of be like a hybrid of the two, right? Like for someone like us to do it, right? Like you need to have some sort of level of influence, but you also need to have some sort of idea that you can kind of, I don't want to say almost trick people into buying, but like, I feel like our best way would be like some sort of get rich quick scheme where it's like, this is something, this is a fad that I can create and cash in on, but also I need to be smart enough to realize this is going to bust at some point and I need to get out at just the right time before it becomes something that's worthless.
Like everything on Shark Tank, basically.
You know what I'm wondering right now? If I go through every contact in my phone and I add up their net worths, do I have $1 billion?
Not even close.
But then you're guesstimating people's net worth.
Dan's in my phone.
Yeah, but Dan's nowhere near $1 billion.
I'm just saying, like, I'm just, you know, there's some rich people.
It's a nice base level there.
I feel like with just a couple of the rich people, you know, I'm trying to think of who I have in my phone.
Do you know how much $1 billion is?
Trace Armstrong. Like, I have Trace Armstrong's number. He's got to have some money.
How much do you think he has?
Like 10 million, maybe?
Okay, so 10 million, right? But he's like on the high end.
I have Richard Blyer's number, Marlins pitcher. I mean, that guy's making like 560K this year.
He's giving up 560K runs.
Right. Peter Burns from ESPN is in my phone. I mean, it's just a who's who.
So who's the richest person in your phone? Right now I have Todd Zeal.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. See, I was going to ask what order. So you're going from Z to A. From Z to A.
I'm starting the other way. I'm in the D's now. I have Andre Dawson's number.
I have Dickie V's number?
Dude, I'm telling you, I think Billy, you might be able to get to a Billy.
I couldn't get to a billion.
No. I have Daniel Dopp's number.
You're not going through your phone?
Oh, because it's just Dan and that's it.
It's an impromptu game of name drop.
Michael Eves.
You and Bill Lawrence, couple of mentions, cutting it up.
I don't have his number yet.
What?
It's his email.
How is that possible?
Mikey
Bob Greasy?
Bob Greasy.
Bob Greasy? Do you think, what do you think he's worth? He's got to be worth a few mil.
I have a number here that just says Shaq uncle. But it could not be Shaq's uncle, right?
Uncle.
Who is this?
Shaquille Griffin's uncle.
It's not even Shaq like with a Q. It's CK. God. Who is this person?
Dominic Foxworth. I feel like I'm getting into the hundreds of millions. I don't think
You're not even close. You'd have to name 10 people that have $10 million to get to 100 million.
I know.
And then you'd have to multiply that by 10 to get to a billion.
Gary Honing. I mean, it's just a who's who.
I had Bob Costas in my phone. When did that
happen?
Look at us.
Wait a minute. I'm going to get us close.
Ooh.
I have a number for Bruce Sherman, apparently.
Oh, what? Yeah. Billy wins.
This has to be an office or something.
Congratulations.
Is this an email? I don't know. I don't know why I have this.
Billy,
number.
You just won the game, man.
Ooh, a contact for Redfoo.
Okay.
Peter Phelps, the hit king, Pete Rose.
And you're only to the P's and R's, man. You're not even, you're just scratching the surface.
That has to be.
Louis Riddick.
I have someone in here just labeled Niñito. I think that's one of my wife's cousins.
That is such a South Florida thing.
That's one of my wife's cousins.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Quintessential South Florida thing. Only if you had three peoples in your phone would it be funnier.
Yeah. I have no idea what that
is. John Skipper's number. I could get to 100 million in my phone. Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor. I
mean, Larkin.
I'm getting to 100 mil for sure.
What do you think Mike Leach is worth?
Dwayne Wade. Okay, I mean, this game. I don't know if it's still his
you
number.
You do not have Dwayne Wade's phone number. Call it right now. Call it right now.
You get him on Mystery Creek. Let's go.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, I do.
FaceTime
him. FaceTime him. FaceTime him. FaceTime him.
FaceTime audio.
FaceTime him.
He's never going to answer.
FaceTime him. FaceTime him. FaceTime him.
What if he does answer? What happens then?
Just,
you should do the TikTok thing where you go, hang on a second, I'm busy.
Yeah,
I'll call you back.
Do that. FaceTime Dwayne Wade right now, and then I'll be like, hello, who is this? And you're like, oh, sorry, D Wade, I don't have time. I'll call you back. Do it right now.
There's no way he answers.
Does
a little FaceTime logo come up where it's like he's got an iPhone, and so the FaceTime button is an option?
No, it says
just message and mobile. The video option is not.
Jose Canseco's ex-girlfriend.
Is she labeled under Jose Canseco's ex-girlfriend?
No, it was his quote-unquote agent, but we found out that was...
was a little bit more to that relationship.
Rich Waltz.
They had a falling out. So. Oh,
Jerry Wingo.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what happened to FaceTiming D. Wade?
I'm going to sit that one out.
Okay. Why? Okay. We're going to close the loop on peer pressure.
Dennis Graham, Drake's dad.
These numbers are.
I have two numbers for him.
I have never guessed. Has to be a duplicate. These numbers are in my phone just because I saw them, and I'm like, I want these numbers in my phone.
Oh, I've gone through the NFL Black Book and just written down the numbers of people I might be interested in talking to.
These numbers are in here just so I can scroll through my phone and play this game.
No, I used to get handed. It was just bad form. I shouldn't really admit this, but when I was an intern on the show,
I know where this is going.
You get handed little slips with the phone number.
Oh.
And a few may have snuck their way into my contact book.
A few. Wow.
Should never give you those numbers, man. I should never
every
give
number I've ever seen.
Well, I should have known you were doing that.
I'll spin the wheel for my thought.
I don't need Ronnie Cycli's number, but I'm putting it in my phone.
It's just really to show off, right, that you have it.
Yeah. You're just showing off to everybody who's been listening to this podcast.
My topic is on the complete opposite end of billionaires, which is complaining about things that are too expensive. I went to the second Marlins game. Is that different though?
Because I feel like if you save your money, you're more likely to be a billionaire.
It's a good point. And one of the ways that you don't become a billionaire is by spending $7.50 on popcorn. See? Not even a tub that you'd get in a movie theater. A small pouch of popcorn relative to what you get at a movie theater. And right. I know this is like the most hackneyed thing in the world, but every once in a while, the little guy needs to be stood up for. The fan. The sports fan is trying to take a family of four to a sporting event and is spending his hard-earned money on this. Look, and I've actually taken a page out of the English Premier League fans, because in Liverpool, they proposed a £5 hike on the tickets across the stadium. I'm doing my politics thumb thing.
You are.
I'm doing my thumb thing. They proposed a £5 hike on season tickets, and the fans were so outraged that they canceled the hike, right? So if fans stood up for themselves, they have legitimate voice. So I went to a Marlins game. A hot dog is like $7. A soda is like $6. A popcorn is $7.50 for nothing.
I feel like you're complaining about the items that are the best bargain, though. Like, I feel like the beer is way more expensive than liquor.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, beer is like $14 for a bottle of, like, for a pint. How is this allowed? How is there not a commission? I cannot believe that we've just allowed, every year, they probably just hike up the price by $1. None of us, or by 50 cents, none of us notice. It's like, all right, well, this is just what it costs now. And I don't think that there's enough, I'm doing my politics thing again. I don't think that there's enough people giving voice to, this is completely ridiculous, right? Mm. It is absurd that you have to pay $7.50 for popcorn at a baseball game. Like, what are we doing? I cannot understand why this doesn't get talked about all the time. Like, the Atlanta Falcons got a bunch of credit because they announced concession stands that, like, you know, soda's $2 and popcorn's $3. They got credit for it. How come no one else is taken into account for what they charge their fans for the most basic of items?
So your gripe is price gouging.
Yes, it is price gouging, and how we as Americans have just taken on capitalism at these sporting events as if it's inevitable that every year your season ticket's going to go up, that every year the price for popcorn and soda is going to go up, that we don't provide any resistance to these organizations gouging.
I feel like any year this would be a great argument, but after a pandemic, like, can't they just make
their money? But do you really think that when we're back to normal and Marlins Park is whatever full it's going to
It'll
be,
go
that they're going to lower the price? It's going to go up. It's always be Marlins Park to me. But it's always going to be going up. So I how did we get here?
How do you propose we fix this, though? Because I feel like if the whole thing is let's stop buying it, then they're like, well, we're not making enough, so we're going to have to raise the prices some more.
Right.
I mean, I would just like for them to like make less money off concessions.
Classic economics.
Sometimes the answer is that you make less money because you're charging an exorbitant amount for your fans to enjoy a game, and you're basically prohibiting people. It's a barrier to entry to sports, to going and seeing live sports in your city. Like, make less money. That's okay sometimes.
You used to be able to take in food, but I don't think you can this year. I think this year you can take in one bottle of unopened water, I think is the rule. And you can't take in food.
If I were them, I wouldn't let you bring in food. Although, actually, I've since been to another game, and there were seats where you can order food from your seat. And I looked at the menu, and there were a bunch of things that were free. So I have never eaten more Sour Patch Kids in my life.
Wait a minute, sitting
down the third base line. I just kept ordering and ordering. And it was
Hold on a second. So free Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
So where is this?
They're charging you $7.50 for popcorn, but they just hand out all willy-nilly
Sour Patch Kids. So the first game I was sitting higher up, right? I was sitting with the people. But I bought tickets. I just generally thought there were good seats down the third base line, like fourth row from the field. It was a Tuesday night. I didn't think they were that expensive. I was like, yeah, you know, I want a good seat. So I paid a little extra money for a good seat. And then a server comes up to me and says, I'm your server for today. Scan this QR code and we'll bring you food. So you scan the QR code, you go to the website, and there's a bunch of free shit on there. And all of a sudden, I go to the candy. It's like, do you want free Skittles or do you want free Swedish Fish? Do you want free M&Ms or do you want free Sour Patch Kids? Do you want free hot dog or do you want free popcorn? And it's like, this is incredible. Like, what a ridiculous experience.
How expensive was that ticket?
It was $40.
That makes sense.
What?
It was $40 for essentially all you can eat.
Hold on, though, Roy. Like, you say that makes sense. Like, that's a lot. It's not a lot when you get the free food because when you get a hot dog, a drink, Sour Patch Kids, you're already close to $40 just on food there.
Exactly. Like, the section higher up are $34. Yeah. So for $6 more, you're sitting in all you can eat seats, essentially.
Wow. Wait, is this all you can eat, or you get one free item?
No. They keep bringing. Like, you keep ordering, and they keep bringing. Like, they don't ever stop.
When are they home again?
Should I let Bruce know about this?
No, don't tell.
Hey guys, it's Mike Fuentes. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't: the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. My last year has been crazy. Started off editing videos for Dan, a podcast here and there, and now I basically do everything there is for Mystery Crate. And it's not about doing something different. It's about doing something that makes me happy, something that makes me smile, something that's not as simple as you think. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. Less filling and only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.